How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is? What time it is? What time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
Knowledge is your birthright. Every human being should be gifted with the right to know self and the environment and the universe into which God gave us birth and life.
For us to come out of our mother's wombs and be 20 years old, 30 years old, not able to read. Victims now of where we place our ears. Who do you listen to?
Listen up. Listen up.
How you gonna know what to do if you don't know what time it is?
Listen up. Listen up. Listen up.
And welcome to Listen Up here, your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. The voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Tonight we got a very, very exciting show. A lot of things have happened over the past week, and we're going to open up the phone lines to give you a chance to chime in, as we sometimes do. We're going to be talking a little bit about the unfortunate death of one of comics' great geniuses, Charlie Murphy. We'll talk a little bit about his life, his legacy, and his impact on the next generation. Also, we'll be checking in and talking about Kendrick Lamar's new album, The D Word. That's all I'm going to say for that one. We're going to get some reviews from some local students here at Morgan State University, get their thoughts about what it means and how hip-hop is going to change, or is it? We'll have that conversation. And then lastly, we'll talk a little bit about Morgan State University. Yes, the Bears has drafted a sixth grader. Yeah, we'll get into that conversation. Plus, we got something for you for the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report. And of course, it's almost time for the commencement. And there has been a major announcement about who will be speaking. Yes, yes, yes. All of that on tonight's edition of Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community and the next generation. Young Nation, let's go.
You gotta say it right, Charlie Murphy.
I don't think that anybody can tell a story the way Charlie Murphy tells a story.
And then Charlie go into one of them stores and everybody in the room is on the floor dying laughing.
He gotta be the Black Mark Twain. I mean, the really Black Mark Twain. I mean, the very, very Black Mark Twain.
Charlie's great. Charlie has a great energy as an actor. He brings a great energy to the screen.
So now you want to be an actor, huh?
And I laughed for 6 months.
You Eddie Murphy, bro.
You and Charlie look just alike.
That made everybody know who Charlie was.
A lot of people gave me shots, but it also always felt like there was this thing in front of me.
The true identity of who Charlie Murphy is, he's always been this person that's been fighting to win.
And I worked hard to be where I'm at right now, and that's why I'm here. It's not because of anything mystical or anything. I put the work in. I'm here because I deserve to be here, not because somebody felt sorry for me.
You know, Charlie is so brutally honest in the things he says and the way he feels, and he don't have no problem explaining it to nobody.
I don't give a fuck if you think I'm funny in that.
Because he was always so talented. But he had that rough side, too.
And Charlie was just
was Thug.
If I heard you say, that nigga ain't funny, pow!
You know I can't f*** with Charlie right now. It's too damn crazy for me.
Oh yeah, because at this time, when I'm doing this, my brother's already Beverly Hills Cop.
He's funny and he's got his own thing.
He would always give you something new and something honest and something real. And he's incredibly funny.
The life, the legacy, the humor of Charlie Murphy. Yes, we have lost a great comic genius this week. And it has certainly shocked a lot of people, especially those of us who are familiar with the great work of Charlie Murphy. If you are familiar with the Chappelle Show, Dave Chappelle's show that was running in the early 2000s, right? You know exactly who Charlie Murphy is. He became the standout of the show outside of Dave Chappelle himself. And nobody has, like, as we heard many of the comics say in our special tribute, nobody can tell a story quite like Charlie Murphy can tell a story. And I think the best story was the one he told about Rick James and about the late great Prince. Joining me in this conversation is one of my producers, and he's also like a cultural critic, always keeping his pulse on what's happening culturally, is my brother Alec Blunt, and talking to us about the life and legacy and the humor of Charlie Murphy. Peace, Alex. How are you, brother?
I'm great. How are you? Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, bro. Let's take a look at Charlie Murphy. What can be said? You're familiar with Charlie Murphy?
I mean, I was introduced to him, like you said, through the Chappelle Show. And
right.
It was just like the Rick James episode. Till today, like, I can go back and watch it and we'll be rolling on the floor. And it was just like, I initially, when I first saw it, I saw him and I was like, is that Eddie Murphy? Like, I thought it was just like somebody, he was just playing a parody. But when I found out that he had a brother, and for him to be relevant and still have his own career and not fall in the shadow of the great Eddie Murphy, you know what I'm saying? It just shows how charismatic and how much of an impact he had on the comic scene. And when I seen the Prince episode, my goodness, like, everybody, if you haven't seen the Prince episode, like, you have to go see it on Netflix. That's all I'm gonna say.
Charlie Murphy, I mean, of course, he is the brother of Eddie Murphy. You know, it's very hard to be the brother of such a legend such as, but Eddie said it best in that particular piece we just ran, that he was his own person. He created his own way. And if you know anything, you know, both Eddie and Charlie grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Charlie was born on July 12th, 1959. He did some time in jail for about 10 months. But his career really started to launch in the late 80s and early 90s. He worked behind the scenes with the hip-hop group K9 Posse. And by the time he really was doing his kind of getting himself his feet wet in the industry, Alex, Eddie Murphy was Beverly Hills Cop. Eddie Murphy was the premier comic, black, white, hands down, premier clock, comic in the 80s and the 90s.
Had he done Raw already yet? Or Delirious? Had he done any?
Then, you know, that was the late 80s.
Okay.
That was the mid to late 80s. Like, okay. Raw came out, I believe, in 1988, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But Eddie Murphy became a household name after Beverly Hills Cop. And he did it, like, his own way. But it's really interesting because during Charlie Murphy's his last tweet that they have of him is from April the 11th at 10 o'clock p.m. Charlie Murphy tweeted, quote, "One to sleep on, release the past to rest as deeply as possible." Now, how haunting is that one?
That's powerful.
It's prolific and it's haunting, but it's more prolific than anything. Release the past to rest as deeply as possible. And I'm sure that Charlie has, through his life, I know him and Eddie talked about, you know, just kind of growing up and being, of course, being black men and breaking into the scene. But more importantly, to really do it the way they did it is something that I think a lot of brothers can relate to.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? And I love the fact that he said, Charlie Murphy said it himself. Like, if you ain't there like my comedy.
Pow. Pow. Pow.
So we're going to open up the phone lines at 410-319-8888. We want to hear your thoughts about the life, the legacy, the humor of Charlie Murphy. If you have any particular thoughts on this. Because this brother here really did a lot of great things. If I'm not mistaken, the fact that he, Alex, you know, of course, the Dave Chappelle. And I don't know if anybody really touches on this. Like, Keenan Ivory Wayans, if you remember, in Living Color, Keenan Ivory Wayans, and I know Sean and all of the folks, y'all, I know they can remember this stuff. Keenan Ivory Wayans did something for black television that nobody has ever done before. Like given, like what Saturday Night Live had did for white comics, Keenan Ivory Wayans did it for black comics. Definitely. And quote Jim Carrey, okay, because Jim Carrey never got on Saturday. Jim Carrey was introduced to black people by Keenan Ivory Wayans in Living Color. But the point is, what Dave Chappelle did was he did his show in the same spirit, the same vein, by bringing you have classic comedy writers. And then you have this new school hip hop oriented style, and you bring and you fuse those elements together to create like a masterpiece show. And what Dave Chappelle did was bringing on Donnell Rawlins, you know what I mean, Ashy Larry, quote unquote, Paul Mooney, who wrote for Richard Pryor, and has been a huge, huge legend in the game. For him to come on to Dave Chappelle's show and to do and assist in the writing of that show, Charlie Murphy, right, and then the smaller comics that they brought in on that show, to bring those black men together to create this powerhouse of such a show, that show that is still being revered by today, says a lot. So Dave Chappelle did something, but I want us to give us some context because Charlie Murphy played an integral role in making sure that people knew exactly that he did comedy his way. And I think that's important.
And given the opportunity, he definitely stepped up to the plate. Like you said, he gave a lot of other people the opportunity. And it shows you just how much, like, how evolved or how ahead of his time Chappelle actually was. Because you see a lot of people, like, they had the Mad TVs and the skits, but just like you said, adding that hip-hop culture and the satiric, the aspect that he took in telling a story that nobody would know, like Charlie Murphy against Prince. Like, nobody would even suspect Prince as a baller. And it's like he added, and the thing is, it was true. Like, people, they confirmed it down the line, but it was just so funny because you think of a Prince and it's like Charlie Murphy. And like you said, he's such a great storyteller that when you see him telling the story on the Chappelle show, it's just like, I thought I was there.
Right.
He just remember, I'll never forget Game. Blouses, like, right. It's just right there, like, and it's just like, what? It's just like, did they really Prince? Like, when I think of Prince and Purple Rain, I'm just like, right. Okay. But then Charlie Murphy just delivered it with such enthusiasm and charisma that it was just like, this guy's really funny.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so we're going to continue. I mean, you know, I know that that Dave Chappelle did a very touching tribute to him. Recently, because of his passing, and many others, D.L. Hughley, Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer, of course, Eddie Murphy. But we definitely wanted to just spend a couple of minutes tonight to show our respect for, because I saw Charlie Murphy a few years ago here in Baltimore, and he was absolutely funny. His style of comedy is absolutely funny. Dave Chappelle did a tribute with John Mayer, the artist, and one of the things he said was, "Rest in peace, Charlie Murphy. We love you. We love your comedy. We love your stories, and we love your spirit." So that was a very, very touching tribute, and I'm sure that Charlie Murphy will be smiling down and looking very happy to hear that he's been loved by so many. So again, rest in power, Brother Charlie Murphy. We will be laughing forever from your comedy. All right, let's switch gears a little bit now, because I do want to talk about one of your favorite artists, Alex.
My man.
Mr. Kendrick.
My man.
Lamar. Let's hear what we got, if we got a little something from Kendrick Lamar and his new, I don't even know if we can say the name of the record on air.
I don't think we can.
But it starts with the letter D and ends with the letter N. the D word. Let's get it for Kendrick Lamar.
Okay, the whole industry been in shambles. Everybody fugazi, I'm just changing the channel. Kendrick Lamar, the people's champion, a manimal for analysts. Career damaging versus meditating when candles lit. I like my raps extra prolific. Some freestyling on lunch tables and park benches. And I won't mention my 10,000 hours in training while juggling game banking. My balancing was tremendous. And now we look at the competition as quick submissions. They tapping out before we even get a chance to miss them. What this about? Is it money or skill? Maybe it's both, and I got large amounts of it, it's real. You see, my oath is very unbreakable. My style is never mistakeable. I can see y'all incapable. To be the god MCs, you know me well. Ridiculous, venomous, hate in my heart. The sinister, run for cover, my lineage prove itself. I'm rolling deep in their paper like two Adeles. Before scholars, I float tighter than virgin lips. We here to shake the game up, and you're flying through turbulence. Everything is high stake nowadays.
Kendrick Lamar. Alex, talk to us, bruh. Kendrick Lamar's new joint drop, the D word. I guess that's all we can. I sound so funny saying that, but it's the D word.
I mean, we're on public radio. Let's have some respect.
Let's have some
grandmothers
put
listening.
Some respect on my
you know
name.
What I'm saying? For Birdman had to stop by. All true, y'all.
Absolutely, absolutely. Kendrick Lamar, once again, he is switching and changing the game. He dropped a big CD, single, Humble.
Yep.
And that joint was hitting the airways. I heard another piece. It was like 5 minutes long. It felt like Heartbreak 4.
The Heart Part 4. Well, he actually, that wasn't even on the album, but he had dropped the Heart Part 3, not on To Pimp a Butterfly, but on his first studio album.
Okay.
So he had already had a series, like, you know, there's something that artists often do. They'll, like Meek Mill did it with Tony Story. They'll continue one song, but they'll tell the stories on different albums. So he just continued, and that was a single that he dropped before he dropped this most recent album. But this album, honestly, was fire. Like, that's like the easiest thing that
now,
I can say.
Everybody, Kendrick has been up for a lot of conversation, and I want to throw the phone number out there again, 410-319-8888. For all my hip-hop heads tonight, if you are looking to get Kendrick Lamar's new album, The D Word, or you've already heard some cuts from it, give us a call to tell us your thoughts. Let us know if you think that Kendrick Lamar is once again pushing the envelope for the culture, for the benefit of the culture. 410-319-8888. And I know I got a lot of hip-hop fans out there listening tonight. But you're saying that this album is fire.
It is fire. Because when you think of Kendrick, like, he usually comes with that, he has that jazz background. So you really hear that melodic jazz beat, and he goes more poetic. And on this beat, I mean, on this album, you hear a lot of trap beats. But
right.
The thing that's different is he goes straight rap. It's all raw. It's not mumble rap. You can't. So basically, it's like a statement to the game. So it's like, I can go on your beat. I can go on my beat. I can go on whatever beat and murder it. So what's your excuse at this point? That's what I felt.
Is the message still the same, though?
Yes.
Is the message? Because people have tried to lump Kendrick Lamar into the quote-unquote conscious category. Would you put him there?
Definitely. He's, if not the most conscious, one of the most conscious rappers in the game, if not the most.
Really?
Honestly. Right now?
Right now.
Mainstream? As far as mainstream goes. There's maybe like underground artists who are as more conscious than him that haven't been discovered, but as far as right now, I think he's the most conscious. Him or Joey.
Right. Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about his relationships with other rappers in the game. Does he have any guest appearances on this album that we should be noting?
Yeah, actually, he had Rihanna on it. He had U2, Bono,
right,
which threw me off guard.
Gotcha.
And he had a lot of composers on it, because he did still have some jazz songs, like with that jazz background. Duckworth, I think K. Duckworth was on conducted a lot of his songs. So he gave you that Kendrick flow, but he gave you a side of Kendrick that you really only see on features. But it was just like, this is me. I can do it on any type of beat.
Here's what I found interesting about his article. Again, for the number of folks, for if you want to join in on the conversation, hip hop heads, let us know what your thoughts are. Kendrick Lamar's new album dropped today. We want to hear what you have to say about it. 410-319-8888. Again, that number is 410-319-8888, Young Nation. Here's what I thought as I was listening to it, right? the complexity of his production aesthetically. You know, he has a very, he goes from like the quote unquote West Coast funk sound, right, to this very soulful sound that reminds me a lot of what Kanye brought to the game
in one
initially.
Track. And that's the thing. He you can know do what that mean? In one track.
But then he got into, then he breaks into this hardcore, he got this hardcore hip-hop sound that's like you straight out of New York. You know what I mean? I want to play up, I want to play Be Humble, the single that he got that's out right now. I want us to hear just a little bit. Maybe you can get a sense of it.
Remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances. Vanessa with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this. Parmesan with my accountant lips. In fact, I'm down in this. You say with my boo babe tastes like too late for the analyst. Girl, I can buy your world with my base stuff. Ooh, that good. Won't you say that on my taste buds? I get way too petty. Won't you let me do the extras? Pull up on your block and break it down. We playing Tetris. AM to the PM, PM to the AM phone. Out your per diem, you just gotta hate them foam. If I quit your BM, I still rock Mercedes funk. If I quit this season, I still be the greatest funk. My left stroke just went viral. Right stroke, put a baby in a spiral. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high note. It's levels to it, you and I know. Be humble, sit down. Be humble, sit down. Be humble, sit down.
Oh man, oh man, oh man. Kendrick Lamar, Be Humble.
Be Humble.
That joint is fire.
They said, actually, funny, they said that he was kind of addressing his beef with Big Sean.
Big Sean, and I heard he kind of had a little side words for Drake as well.
A little bit.
You know
but
what I'm
Drake
saying?
Drake seems to just get that side on every project that Kendrick does. Like, it's like he has to check Drake. Like, look, I know that you're an entertainer and they may see you as a better entertainer, but lyrically, as a rapper, you're not going to touch me ever. Like, I feel like he just has to humble him sometimes. Like, here. I mean, that's
what's
the reality.
What's the beef with him and Big Sean?
Well, okay. So what happened was, I don't know if you remember Control. When
Okay, who can forget
when
Control?
He murdered just the rap game and then brought it back to life with his, his right. next album. But, people were saying that Big Sean was holding on to that, and he really never addressed it because he was just like, because
he was that was that Control was actually the verse that Kendrick did on Big Sean's song,
on his song, but right. he didn't make the album, which was funny. And people were saying that he kept it off the album because
he got into his feelings.
Yeah,
he
got
into his bag a little bit.
Initially, he was saying that it was basically like the label, they couldn't get the beat signed off or something. He was saying it was some label issues, but 2 years later, no. 4 years later, correction, because it came out in like 2013, 2014, we're now hearing about it. Big Sean is speaking about it. He's saying that it was petty, and he was dropping like subliminals on some of his songs. So they said that when he came on here, in the part four, he addressed them too. He really addressed them in the heart, part four.
Yeah.
So he was just like basically saying like, you people are walking. Kendrick addressed them and said, people who are treading around my name, like, I hear you. Like, because he would say it subtly in an interview, but he would never really go at Kendrick.
Go
he doesn't want
Kendrick.
That smoke. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right,
he doesn't
right,
want, no
right.
one wants that beef for Kendrick.
Yeah, Big Sean is a little, Big Sean already has a loyal fan base,
mm-hmm.
but Kendrick certainly has a much larger fan base.
Of course. And another thing that stood out was Kendrick was just saying, well, they weren't in the same studio. And that's one of the biggest things. When he sent it over to Kendrick, and then
right.
they sent it back, and then he heard it, and he was just like, okay. Like,
we're not going to put that on.
Yeah, we're not putting this on the album. Like, you can't.
But somebody already leaked it. No, we're going to put this out there, though.
I mean, to this day, I can say that was one of the biggest tracks of the decade. Like,
wow. Well, hey, look, hit us up, 410-319-8888, if your thoughts about the new album from Kendrick Lamar, The D Word. He dropped some big, big singles and is getting a lot of buzz. And, you know, Kendrick Lamar is often seen as the quote-unquote, he said it himself, the savior, or as he said, the Mona Lisa of hip-hop right now. And we want to hear your thoughts, especially for my hip-hop heads, 410-319-8888. Alex, being, you know, listening and a fan of Kendrick, is he pushing the envelope once again as he did with his first album, Good Kid, Mad City? Is he causing people to Is he still in that mental space? Because I think that his first album has already been certified classic. From coast to coast, whatever the case may be. But now he's on something new. He did To Pimp a Butterfly. He's dropped a couple of mixtapes even over the past couple of years. But his impact to the game right now. What is his impact to the game, considering you still have a Drake that's present? And you still have a lot of the legends still there. You know, you still have a Jay-Z, you still got a Nas, you still got a Snoop, you still got a lot of these guys that are still doing their thing. Where does Kendrick fit in that whole thing? And we can't forget J. Cole dropped a major project a couple of months ago. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, Cole is amongst the conscious cats. You know, Cole's definitely up there. It's like really hard to differentiate you could differentiate between them as artists, but it's like, as far as respect in the game right now, they're pretty much on the same level.
Yeah.
But Kendrick stays consistent. Like, that's one thing, like, he just has stayed consistent throughout all his projects. Even though they're different, they have different sounds, he definitely does push the envelope because he's letting people know that the conscious rapper is still alive. Like, the rap is not dead. Everybody has been saying, like, that the mumble rapper has ruined rap. And he's, like, out there saying, no, it hasn't. You're just not listening to the right people.
Right. Right. So, one of the things that I hear about Kendrick is that he reminds me of Nas. And I remember Nas saying in an interview that he never saw himself as, quote unquote, being the conscious rapper. He just saw himself as being a rapper that talked about what he saw and what he experienced, whatever. Right. And Nas, if you notice, is that his consciousness grew over time, because Illmatic is certainly an 18-year-old's view of the world.
Definitely.
Now, if you saw, you know, Life is Good, if you listen to, you know, Hip Hop is Dead, you hear much more mature Nas. So when I hear Kendrick, that's what I'm hearing, is like, you know, he's evolving in his knowledge and wisdom. And it's going to be interesting to see this. Let's go to the phone lines here, folks, real quick. 410-319-8888. On the line, we got Red. Peace and blessings, Red. What's your question, your comment about Kendrick?
Peace and blessings, a.k.a. Brand New Old School.
Yes, hey. Sir.
If the God co-signed you, you know you in there. Everything I hear from Kendrick is a breath of fresh air. Rakim co-signed him a few years back.
Right.
And I'm from the era that you had to, you know, you had to spit. And I made it through that bounce and that snap and all of that. And it had me listening to old CDs just all the time, just listening to old CDs. And now Kendrick come out, you can actually, you know, go buy something new, man. It's been a long time. Well, I'm old school, since I buy a CD, but it's a long time since I wanted to get some new music. And Kendrick makes you want to go do that.
Right. Gotcha. Hey, Red, we appreciate you, brother, and I appreciate you bringing that that truth to the conversation, because you're absolutely right. You know, Kendrick has been anointed by so many, whether you're talking about Rakim, even his own West Coast colleague, Snoop Dogg, and whatnot. So Kendrick has been given the blessing by so many legends as it is. But it seems to me, Alex, that he's not allowing that to stop his hunger. He's still hungry, it sounds like.
And that's what makes him different. It's like he's not content until, I don't know what his overall purpose is, what he hopes to achieve, but he's just hungry for something. And it's like a message that he's putting out that clearly we're not getting, because he keeps putting out something else to try to get us awake.
Right.
So he's like, you're asleep. Y'all ain't get it on the last album? All right, I'm going to give y'all another one. And allegedly, just to throw this out real quick, this is just one part of the album. Don't quote me, though. But
yeah.
They're saying that allegedly there's supposed to be another album that drops on Sunday.
Wow.
So
he's been putting in that studio work. Look, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. And, of course, we got to tell you about what Morgan State is doing on so many levels. Yes, yes. They're doing some big things, from some small guys to some big guys. Yes, yes. And of course, on the other side, we got something really powerful, really cool that you want to be involved in for the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report. So stay tuned. All of that on the second half of Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. The voice of the community and, of course, the next generation. We'll be right back. Travel around the Atlas in a spaceship, candy coated. My day shift been devoted to the bundles of paper. Pi equals 314.
devil's pie is big enough to justify those things. Wait up. Lamping in Jamaica, the clouds.
You just gotta
go.
You'll never know what you could ever be. If you never try, you'll never see. Stayed in Africa, we ain't never leave. So one no slaves in our history. One no slave ships, one no misery. Call me crazy, or isn't he? See, I fell asleep and I had a dream. It was all black everything.
And we ain't get exploited. White man ain't fear it, so he did not destroy it. We ain't work for free, see they had to employ it. Built it up together, so we equally appointed. First 400 years, see we actually enjoyed it. Constitution written by W.E.B. Du Bois. When no reconstruction, civil war got avoided.
Little peace and welcome back to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. The voice of the community, and of course, the next generation. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad, joined by our wonderful producer, Brother Alex, that's going to give us some insight. We've been talking about Kendrick Lamar, talking about all things cultural. Hey, man, it's a beautiful Friday right now. If you're out and about in them streets right now, turn EAA up right now. Just turn us up, because we having that real conversation. But more importantly, make sure y'all just enjoy the weekend and everything. I think, what's this? This is Easter weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Easter weekend is
today's
next
Good
weekend.
Friday. Nah, today's no, Good this Friday.
Good Friday, yes. Yeah. Easter weekend. We know how that's going to go in Baltimore City. Kitty discos and all that type of stuff, Alex. You know how we do, man. We about to... it's going to be litty. just stop playing. But make sure y'all enjoy the weekend on that joint. All right, let's talk a little bit about this. Because I, my producers brought up a piece that I wanted to throw into the mix, Alex, as we're talking about cultural things. There were four, if you haven't noticed, Black folks are really doing their thing in 2017.
Yes.
I know, sisters, you got Black Girl Magic. I get it. I get it. That's always going to be around. But then you have Black men who are definitely stepping up in a big, big way. I want to give a big shout out to all of the Pulitzer Prize winners. Now, if you're not familiar with the Pulitzer Prize is it's the very distinguished prize that is for particular works of fiction or other types of writing for letters, drama, music. It recognizes distinguished fiction by an American author, preferably dealing with American life, published during the preceding calendar year. But more importantly, it's a big deal. Now, one of our very own here at Morgan State University, Professor E.R. Shipp, has been a Pulitzer Prize winner. Big shout out to Professor Shipp. But then there has also been some other notables that we want to just highlight tonight. One of them, a couple of them are the following. We have Tehemba Jess, who won for his Pulitzer Prize for his poem, Olio. Hilton Ock for Criticism. Lynn Nottage for Drama. And Colson Whitehead for Fiction. So if you are love the literary world, if you love, you know, kind of keeping up on those things, make sure you check out these four amazing Black folk: Tehemba Jess, Hilton Ock, Lynn Nottage, and Colson Whitehead for poetry, criticism, drama, and fiction, respectively. But we want to hear, we got a little short excerpt about what Tehemba Jess had to say as it relates to winning the Pulitzer Prize. Check this out.
Tehemba Jess, and the name of this poem is Another Man Done. Another of the social causes of the migrants leaving was that at times they did not feel safe, or it was not the best thing to be found on the streets late at night. They were arrested at the slightest provocation. 1940. Another of the social causes of the migrants leaving was that at times they did not feel safe. Or it was not the best thing to be found on the streets.
1943.
They were arrested at the slightest provocation.
1945.
Another of the social causes of the migrants leaving was that at times they did not feel safe. It was not the best thing to be found on the streets late at night. They were arrested at night. Another of the social causes of the migrants leaving was that at times they did not feel safe. It was not the best thing to be found on the streets late at night. They were arrested at the night. They were arrested at another of the social causes of the migrants leaving. 1962, 1963, 1964, 1965, 1966, 1967, 1969, 1970, 1972, 1973, 1974.
That was Tahimba Jess with his poem Another Man Done. Pulitzer Prize winner Tahimba Jess, and we want to give a big shout out. He actually won for the poem Olio from 2016. But culturally, Alex, this is a big deal.
This is a big deal.
Pulitzer Prize winner, especially if you're writing, and you can hear the type of poetry that he has. It's very insightful, very thought-provoking. And you know, of course, we got to make sure that we put it out there that, you know, Young Nation, if you are into writing, if you're into the, any type of the arts of whatnot, like, you may not get the Oscar or you may not get the Grammy, but I'll take the Pulitzer Prize.
Pulitzer, well, yeah, why not? I'll definitely give me that.
Pulitzer Prize. You know, everybody doesn't get one of those joints. But it's really good, though, Alex, to see that you got some new and fresh voices. How important is it, though, from a cultural perspective, given where we are and the cultural messages that we are inundated with on a regular basis? How important is this type of achievement?
Well, it's first and foremost, it's very encouraging because, like you were saying, people who are in the arts that may feel discouraged or may not feel like their arts are being appreciated, their art is being appreciated, they can look towards these gentlemen, they can look towards these people and just feel inspired because it's like they see someone that looks like them, that accomplished this, that they reached that milestone, they went over these barriers. So looking on the outside, it's like people generally want, from our community, want us to be, you know, the doctors, the lawyers. They want us to stand out. But from a Haitian perspective, my parents, they pushed that on me. So, like, when I told them that I wanted to do film, that I wanted to be an artistic individual, they kind of looked down upon it.
And it's interesting. And we still, even today, there is still that if you have young people that say, hey, I want to be a writer, I want to be a painter, I want to be an actor, you know what I mean? It's still kind of like, oh,
It's like they encourage you, but it's like, I wish you would have picked med school or something.
Right, because something where you can make some money.
It's all about the money. That's all it comes down to. It's not about happiness, really. They just want to make sure that you're good. And
I mean, I can't get mad. You know, I understand that because sometimes, you know, some of our people, we've come through some very, very hard circumstances. But I guess the bigger part of it is the fact that you have to do what you love to do. You have to do your passion. And, you know, I always ask the question when I'm in front of a group of young folk, name one job you would do regardless if you never got paid to do it. That's the job that you're probably most passionate about. And that's the job that's probably going to make you the happiest. Now, of course, we're living in a time. I haven't heard any job that somebody has said in that conversation and nobody's getting paid for it. Hey, I like to write music. So you mean nobody writes music now?
Exactly.
And you can't get paid for that at this point?
Ghostwriters. Right, you know what I'm saying? Actually, people are beefing over ghostwriters now.
Right, exactly. So, again, big shout-out to all of our Pulitzer Prize winners. Let's continue to be great. Now, final piece before we get to the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report, Alex. Morgan State University is doing some big things. I know we talked about it many times on this show, on my colleague's show, but this one has to take the cake. Apparently, there was draft day at Morgan, and the Morgan State Bears were ready to meet their new teammate. According to the head football coach here, Fred Ferrier, his outlook is great. His attitude is phenomenal as they talk about their new draft. And he is a sixth grader at Glenmount Elementary School and the newest member of the Morgan Bears. Big shout out to little brother Devin McConnell, who is 12 years old. It began when he was just 9 years old, Doctors had found a tumor in his brain the size of an egg, Alex. He needed surgery and weeks of radiation to address it. And according to his mom, Miss Dawn Braxton, she said it's not completely gone because it was on his carotid artery, excuse me. So they shrunk it as much as they could. He's not out of the woods, but little Devin McConnell goes to the hospital every 3 months for an MRI, and he's been able to bounce back. Well, this Friday, with the help of the nonprofit Teen Impact, Devin has become an official member of the Morgan State football team. That's right, he is a Morgan State Bear, 12 years old, sixth grader. And according to Devin, it means a lot to be drafted by the Morgan State family and to be a part of the Brotherhood. He'll now get the chance to attend games, practice games, and regular games with his team. He'll learn from them, and Coach Ferrier believes his team will learn from Devin. And one of the things that Coach said is that when you have a young man who's really been through true life trials and tribulations, where he can have a positive outlook and walk around with a smile on his face and be energetic at practice and that type of thing, if he can come out to practice and be energized and have a great day, we absolutely can do the same thing. Mm. So big shout out to Morgan State Bears for enlisting little brother Devin McConnell, 12 years old, sixth grader, at Glenmount Elementary School. That's right. You are a Morgan State Bear. And little brother, we would love to have you on the show. I'm going to throw that out there, Alex. Mm. We would love to have you on the show. Miss Dawn, definitely, if you are listening, if somebody knows Miss Dawn Braxton, let her know. She would that we would definitely like to have little brother Devin McConnell to come on to the show to talk about his experience and the things he's going through. But most importantly, we need to get his spirit up in this joint. Oh, yeah. 12 years old, dealing with a serious, serious life threatening situation, but he has been able to persevere. We can learn a lot from little brother Devin McConnell. So again, so that's definitely something that we want to definitely celebrate. So again, Devin McConnell, Morgan State Bear. Also, Morgan State is also doing something else. Alex, I think you're graduating in May.
Yes, sir.
Next month, right?
Yes, sir.
That's a major graduation.
Major.
I think the theme is relating to the 150 years of history.
Yep.
Right? Beautiful. They had a beautiful commemoration for those who've made the dean's list.
Mm-hmm. Just Albert's a couple convocation. Of
the, yeah. Yeah, the convocation, right? Beautiful program. Big shout out to Morgan for that. But y'all got a major person coming to the graduation ceremony speaking. I know Nira Muhammad, who's one of the ladies of Listen Up. She's excited. She's about to graduate. The word on the street is that former Vice President Joe Biden will be the commencement speaker for the 141st commencement celebration here at Morgan State University. That's major.
That's big.
All I'm saying is, you know, Joe Biden is cool, former vice president. You know what the bigger question is.
I mean, why can't we get him right? I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's good, you know.
No, it's not. No, that's wrong. It would have been, why can't we get Michelle?
Michelle? Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, okay.
But that's what's up right there. All right, so former Vice President Joe Biden is going to be the commencement speaker for this this year's graduation. Alex, you got some thoughts about that, brother?
I mean, that's an honor and a privilege, to be honest. I like Biden. I mean, that's my man.
You know one thing I'm looking forward to, though. I know he gonna say some wild stuff out
of
his mouth.
Of course, at an HBCU, who our president is, you know, I'm ready.
He's gonna say some wild stuff. Especially now he doesn't have no filter.
Oh yeah,
he's going to be. He's just simply going to be off the chain.
All I'm gonna say is, I feel like I'm gonna leave the commencement just ready for the world. Like after having that conversation, just war ready. Like yeah, it don't matter. You know, I'm just ready.
Former Vice President Joe Biden. Hey, man, if former President Barack Obama, if you just happen to be in the area, just slide through. Just be like, hey, Joe, I just wanted to just, like, wave your hand. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, just wave your hand. And please tell former First Lady Michelle Obama.
You know what I'm saying? Hop on that
Obama.
MART train.
You know
MART
what I mean?
Train is right.
It's not far distant from New York to Baltimore. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, that's going to be very fun, though. I'm looking forward to it, seeing what the vice president has to say, especially in light of what the current president is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tune in next week.
All right, we got to take a quick break, but up next, we got the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report. We're going to tell you about a major, major event that you want to be a part of as we continue to celebrate. And, you know, Alex, we're coming. This is what? The second year anniversary surrounding the Freddie Gray trial and tragedy. Wow. 2 years later.
I can't
and all
it.
I'm going to say is 2 years later and West Baltimore still looks the same. Think on that. All right, up next, the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report. Stay tuned. All of that is coming on the final moments of Listen Up. Here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. My engineer.
Tried so hard, but everything seems to go wrong. Now I'm broken, I got money on my mind. Yeah, yeah. Money on my mind. Money on my mind. Nothing to lose. Oh.
Know what I'm about. Gangsta and hell. Know what I'm about. Gangsta.
Peace and welcome back to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM at WEAA.org. It is now time for us to tell you what's happening with the official What's Good in the Hood Street Report tonight. And joining us is one of my co-hosts from the Final Call radio show that airs this Sunday at 8 o'clock. It's my brother and friend. He is one of the co-founders of the mentoring program Brothers in Action. And here to talk to us about their upcoming community cleanup, we got Brother Anthony Pena on the line. Peace and blessings, Brother Anthony. How are you, sir?
Fine, sir. How you doing, man?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. All right, talk to us about this, man. This is a big cleanup that's happening tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir. Under leadership of Isaiah Muhammad, the first officer of the FOI, and Captain Andrew Muhammad at Mosque Number 6, was there a joint effort between Brothers in Action and the FOI to go down to Gilmer Homes tomorrow and support the community by cleaning up, making a safe environment. We're going to have free food. Just a good, wholesome time from 12 to 4 tomorrow in Gilmer Homes, because, you know, this is the second year anniversary this week of the loss of our brother, Freddie Gray. So we want to be in the community on a Saturday and support this initiative to make sure we can make our community feel loved and respected by those who are in it.
So this is a community cleanup for that neighborhood, for that community, and this is an effort to maintain a clean and safe community. But more importantly, this seems like this is a way for us to let the family of Gilmer Homes know that we have not forgotten them on this second year of the tragedy of Freddie Gray.
Right. And Isaiah Muhammad, who's leading the initiative, he definitely wants us to do Gilmer Homes and other communities, because we know that oftentimes the media forgets about Gilmer Homes and the communities, and people are still reeling from the pain from the uprising, and nothing has changed. So the FOI is consistently in that community, and a lot of my students who are mentees in my program are also in that community. So we want to let them know that there's love for them, we respect them, and we're going to be with them from 12 to 4 tomorrow. Free food. We encourage anybody, particularly any males, to come out and support this initiative between the FOI of Muhammad Mosque Number 6 and Brothers in Action.
This sounds like this is going to be a great, you know, inspiring and uplifting event. Brother Anthony, talk to us. I mean, it's been 2 years since the Freddie Gray uprising. You are the educator, brother. You are certainly involved in the community. Have you noticed any particular change, whether it's in Gilmer Homes or any other parts of the city, or even in some of the institutions like the school system, the police department and whatnot? Do you feel like there's going to be some real change coming out of what we experienced 2 years ago?
The only thing that's changed was that we have a center called the Freddie Gray Center, which is still vacant. I haven't seen too many activities since then. And the second event is that, yes, there's been $5 million awarded to West Baltimore through the Drug Coalition Act, which allowed them to raise money, but I haven't seen any changes in communities. The conditions of the water system is still terrible in our school system. A lot of the students don't have enough jobs, so nothing has really changed except the people sitting in the seats of power. That's only have changed the last 2 years.
And that's one of the things, and I want to bring in back in our producer, Alex, here. Alex, that's one of the things that I'm seeing is that, like Anthony said, we're seeing changes in the seats of power, but we're not seeing changes on the ground level where with the people. You know, again, West Baltimore still looks the same. Now, I'm not expecting this to happen and change overnight, but I've heard there was so much money that was going to be funneled into this neighborhood and to, you know, West Baltimore in general. And then at this point, we're still kind of seeing the politics of it instead of the progress. Alex?
I definitely feel like it's something really political. But as far as just like you said, when you drive through, it's the not only physically, but like within the people's spirits, you can still see that a lot of it hasn't changed. Like the people within West Baltimore, they feel that way. It's like they're living it every day. And the change of seats, I mean, I want to say let's be patient, to be optimistic, and, you know, don't want to be a bearer of bad news, you know. But it's time for a change. It's been 2 years now, like you said. We're celebrating 2 years, and you haven't really seen much of a change. And I guess you can say they're cracking down on the police force. But outside of that, it's like, you're still not really helping the community.
Right, right. And, you know, Anthony, I mean, you're running Brothers in Action. You know, you're mentoring these young brothers and you're mentoring these students, and you work in a school system, in the school system. What are they seeing in terms of what has happened in 2015 to what's happening now? Do they feel like things are going in a forward motion for their future?
No, they often ask, you know, I don't have a job. How can I get a job? They won't give me a job. So a lot of they expect young people not to be, you know, live a life of what they call Freddie Gray or whatever they want to judge these kids as, but there's no opportunity for them. There's no summer programs. If you want to do an AAU basketball program, it costs $320 a week to do that program. Which of our kids are going to be able to do that? So it's like you deny them opportunities and almost chastising them but yet you're enslaving them, but they no longer leave their corridor because they don't have the access to leave out and make themselves better. So they get confined to a community where it's heavily watched by the police state of Baltimore City, and they expect something to happen positive, but they really don't want positive. As long as they keep the people in Gilmer Homes or in McCullough Homes or wherever the region they are part of, they'll be happy. But as soon as you step out of Gilmer Homes, becomes a problem, and they have to check, you go right back to your plantation.
Wow, wow. Heavy, heavy words. All right, Brother Anthony, one more time. Well, how can people participate in tomorrow's community cleanup at Gilmer Homes?
Just show up tomorrow between 12 and 4. It's led by Isaiah Muhammad in the FOI, Muhammad Mosque number 6, in partnership with Brothers in Action. Tomorrow from 12 to 4, we'll have free food. We'll have cleaning supplies. Just be out there. Show these Gilmer Homes people that we still have not forgotten about them, even though the media has forgotten about them.
All right, you heard it here, folks. Brothers in Action, the Fruit of Islam of Muhammad Mosque number 6, coming together to do a community cleanup at Gilmer Homes. 12 to 4, you want to make your way over there tomorrow. Even if you can just give 30 minutes to an hour, spend time with our brothers and sisters there. But just know, as the weather continues to get warm, we're going to be touching on all different parts of the city. I know that folks are going to be out there. East Baltimore, we haven't forgotten about you. Southeast Baltimore, Southwest Baltimore, we got you. But definitely, let's start and let's go back. And really, over these next few weeks, as people continue to talk about Freddie Gray and what has happened, let's reflect on not just the outbreak, the quote-unquote the violence, because nobody was killed in that situation. But more importantly, let's reflect on the cause. What has driven our people to get to that point, and what can we do today to change our own condition? Anthony Pena, thank you so much, brother. I look forward to having that conversation with you on Sunday on the Final Call Radio Show.
Yes, sir. Thank you to everybody at WAA.
Absolutely, brother. All right, family, that's going to do it for us tonight. I want to thank my man, my producer, Alex Blount, for coming in and checking in and being a part of tonight's show. I want to thank all of our wonderful producers, Mieka Downing, Danielle Carter, Aaliyah Turnage, Mikel Ramos, and, of course, our super producer, Iori. Otherwise, she won't be happy if I didn't shout her out. And I definitely want to thank our engineer tonight, Andre, for pulling up that great, great music that we had tonight. Thank you. Oh, and of course, Mika for doing that one. That was her call.
Yeah.
All right. Make sure y'all have a safe time during Easter weekend, Resurrection Sunday. Don't just look good. Be good. How about that inside and out? And let's continue to treat each other better. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong. Stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. Up next is the Duchess with that cool jazz for your Friday night for Good Friday. And then next week, we'll continue the conversation. We're expecting to talk to Ty Davis, one of Baltimore's hottest comics, about an upcoming show and so much more. Stay tuned. And all of that is coming up in a few minutes, but thank you for tuning in to Listen Up here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org, the voice of the community and the next generation. Kendrick, let's all be humble, bro. Take us home.